Bibles this evening to the book of Malachi, Malachi chapter 3. While you're turning there, Brother Price, could I ask you a personal question?
Yes, sir.
In your family, as you were growing up, what is your birth order?
First class.
Okay, you were an only child.
Okay.
You seem to have a penchant for putting the second in the first place when you're picking songs starting with the second verse, and I thought, well, maybe Brother Price is the second child, and subconsciously he's trying to promote that second verse into a more prominent position. But so much for amateur psychology. But I hope you found your place tonight in the book of Malachi, Malachi chapter 3. We'll begin reading at verse number 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against false swearers, against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are not consumed. I'm glad that I serve a God that does not change. I have a business in a sleepy southern town. How sleepy is it? Even the name of the town, Davenport, can be used to describe a couch that can be made into a bed. Davenport has a slogan that says, "Gateway to the Ridge." I believe we ought to change that slogan. Davenport, a good place to take a nap. I don't think the city fathers would appreciate that, but sometimes I just look around and see everything the same. Everything's the same. There are buildings there that have been vacant for years. And sometimes I just want to see change. But change can be change for the better or change for the worse. In our previous presidential administration, President Obama ran with the slogan, "Change for America." And people wanted change. Our present administration, President Trump, campaigned on the slogan, "Make America Great Again." Basically, offering change again. Pastor has talked to us about a particular political race that doesn't have a candidate and encouraging people to run. I don't think I would make a good politician. My campaign would be, I'll keep things just the way they are. You know, you can't motivate people very much with the status quo. You have to offer change. But my slogan would be, you like things the way they are? I'll keep them that way. I appreciate having a God that doesn't change. There are several people here that are involved in the construction trades. And what if the rules kept changing? What if you built a building with a 12-inch footer? And the inspector came out and said, "Oh, didn't you get the changes? The footer has to be 16 inches now." Well, I've already poured the footer. What am I supposed to do? Tear it up? Start over again? Or how many rebar did you put in that? I put in two. Well, the code now says you need three rebar. You got to tear it up, start again. Our God is a changeless God. He doesn't have different rules for different people. He's consistent in all he does. You know, it is the nature of things to change. If you grew up in a town and you go back to that town and you walk around, you know, everything will be different. But it's good to have something that does not change. Well, what does the consistency of God mean? Well, you know, man's attitude changes, particularly towards sin, but God's does not. When I was growing up, there were a lot of seminars and classes that Christian young people were taught as far as the dangers of rock music. We were taught how to identify what rock music was and to stay away from it. But you turn on Christian radio nowadays, and quite a bit of what is Christian music is rock music as far as the beat is applied to it. So man's attitude towards sin changes. You know, I always like to look at something like rock music. You know, it was born of rebellion. Even though it's become acceptable, where did it get its start? How did it start? It was started as rebellion. And in the Bible, rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. Certainly we need to look at things and see how they started. And even though they might become acceptable, I think it's something we ought to leave alone. Sin is rebellion against God. The person who rebels against God is God's enemy. In the book of Romans chapter 5 and verse number 10, it says an amazing thing. Even though we were once God's enemies, we have been reconciled. Romans 5:10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. God has taken someone who was his enemy and brought him close. What a wonderful thing. So God does not change in his attitude towards sin. Another thing God does not change in is his love for all people. All people are valuable in his sight. In Psalm chapter 8, verses 3 and 4, it talks about how God looks at man. Psalm chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? God is mindful of us. We fill up his thoughts. What an amazing thing to think that the creator of the heaven and the earth cares about us and does not change in his love toward us. Society might change in their attitudes as far as the value of a person, but God never changes. Another thing God doesn't change in is his plans and purposes. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 4, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 4, we have God's plan and God's purpose. 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. God does not change in his plans and his purpose. God wants everyone to be saved. And also he wants everyone to grow. That verse talked about having all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Once we're saved, we need to grow as Christians. In the Great Commission, Jesus said, teaching them to observe all things. We need to learn. We need to study God's word. We need to apply it to our lives. And we need to grow closer to God through knowledge of him. And God does not change in his judgments and his mercy. God's judgments have been seen throughout history. We think of the flood. We think about the Tower of Babel, how that God judged sin, judged it harshly. But also, God's mercy does not change. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 3 and 4. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 3 and 4. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and serve the Lord only. Look down in verse number 13. So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Some things about God does not change. His attitude towards sin, it does not change in his love to all people. God does not change in his plans and his purposes. And God does not change in his judgments and his mercy. Have you experienced the mercy of God? Mercy means not receiving what we deserve. A defendant would ask the judge for mercy, knowing that he deserves the penalty that's about to be meted out. But he asked for mercy. Please don't give me what I deserve. The Bible tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It also says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We deserve death, separation from God and hell, but God in his mercy has provided another way. If you don't know that other way tonight, please see me after we close, and I can share you from the Bible God's plan for your salvation. Let's close with prayer. Father, we thank you for this time we've had to look into your word. We thank you for those who came out tonight. Father, we pray for those who are away, for our pastor and the counselors and the campers. May this be an important part of their life, an important time in their life, Lord. And may they return refreshed and energized in their service to you. May important decisions be made during this time away. And Lord, do bring them home safely. For others who are traveling, for Brother Spencer, for Sister Nelson who will be leaving us, protect them as they travel and bring them back home safely. Father, be with us as we go through the rest of this week. Help us to live for you, that others might see Christ in us, and bring us back Sunday ready to worship you. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You are dismissed.